Right.
Okay.
I just turned cassette tape number 3 over, and I'll now start recording from the Wallen Sack.
His store was right next to the curio stuff, shop. His father had a saloon on the corner, and then there was a curio shop, and then there was George Murphy Jr. grocery store. He had a good business at that time, because the automobile industry hadn't, people wasn't traveling across the country in automobiles.
Uh-huh.
And the people from the trains would come in there to get their groceries, get a quick lunch, you know.
I see.
Bread and cheese and cake and fruit and nuts and things like that. And he done a wonderful business at that time.
Well, didn't you know him quite well?
Yes, I worked for him a while. I worked in his grocery store as a clerk, worked in there. I quit the firing in the yard and went to work for him as a grocery clerk.
About what age was that?
Oh, I'm about 23 or 4. And then I went to work for Dad.
Now
after that.
What was your dad doing here? We had him, last time we talked about your dad, he was on the Cache Valley run or something.
Well, then he quit that Cache Valley run and went to work on the Southern Pacific as a brakeman.
Was this, where would he run on that?
He'd run from Ogden to Terrace.
Where is Terrace?
Terrace is on the north end of the lake.
Oh, the trains were still going around the lake in those days.
They were still going around the lake. They'd go to Promontory and over Promontory down to Terrace.
And then what'd he do, stay there and come back on another run?
Yeah, come back on another train coming east. Then he quit that and went into the transfer business.
Ogden City Transfer Company, about the oldest in Ogden.
City Transfer.
Started out with horses or what?
Started out with horses. Started out with a team and wagon and a small wagon and one horse. Started out with a team and wagon and one wagon with one horse on it. What was called an express wagon.
What
picking up trunks and like that.
What was the main business here anyway?
He was haul coal, and there was a lot of coal hauling in those days. He'd haul coal, and he'd haul furniture, and hay and grain. He had hay and grain at that time, too.
Was he living on Benford when this was started?
No, living on 2783 Pacific Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Then he sold out to the railroad, sold the place for $1,500 to the railroad. Then he moved on Benford.
Well, now on Benford, I can remember some large buildings behind the house, two-story. Is that something to do with the transfer business?
Yeah, that was a large barn.
Did he build that house on Benford?
No, that was already built there. But it had a large barn, and this barn, the top of the barn was for hay, see?
Uh-huh.
For hay and horses. Stalls that are at the bottom for horses, and the top where they put the store, they put the hay in there for feed. So I never did move in there. Of course, when he moved in there, well, he had trucks then.
Oh.
He had trucks when he moved in there. But that's the reason for that big two-story building at the back of the house. That was built when the house was built. It was a barn for horses.
Well, now, in this transfer business, did he have an office downtown?
He had an office downtown on 25th Street.
About what address?
Between Lincoln and Grant, it was about 200 and about 235, something like that, 25th Street.
South side of the street?
South side of the street.
Well, now, how did that business prosper, and what became of it?
Well, he got along pretty well. He made money with the teams, and then he got trucks. He got a van and a express truck that he had. He went in business with others two or three times and couldn't make it and had to separate from them.
Do you know who some of these others were?
No, can't think of the names now. There was one fellow had a van. He wanted to go in with the dad. He wasn't making any money. And that was Hewitt. And they couldn't make it together, so they had to break up. And then there was Lloyd, I believe the other fellow's name was. Wanted me to go in with him, and they couldn't make it together. So they had to break up.
Your father carried that up until about his death,
were you? Yeah, just about the time he died. But his business went down for some reason or other. Well, because he didn't expand.
Mm-hmm.
So his business went down to practically nothing. He had one truck when he went out of business.
Well, now, you worked for George Murphy for a couple of years, was that it?
Yes.
And then went to work for your dad in the transfer business?
Yes, then I worked for him 10 years. And then I went to, tried selling insurance for about a year, Metropolitan Insurance Company.
You must have got married in here somewhere.
Yeah, I got married in 1918.
While you're still working for your dad?
Yes, yes, I was working for Dad at that time.
What sort of thing did you do? Did you drive the trucks or what?
Yeah, I drove the van. I drove the...
This was a moving van?
Moving van, yes.
How far would you go with the van?
Oh, we'd go Salt Lake, Tooele, Provo, Pocatello.
Mainly furniture moving?
Furniture moving. Well, on those trips it was furniture moving, yes, on the long trips. Then we moved around town. Done other hauling, too. Hauled cement and grain.
And your father wasn't making enough money to only pay you, wasn't
he? That's right, that's right.
Did you have any interesting experiences you'd care to relate on those when you were working for your dad?
Well, I remember one time on a trip to Provo to move the household goods from Provo. Why, the way this man explained it to Father, why he just had a small load. But when we get down there, the lady had his mother had about 1,000 pounds of canned fruit. You know how much weight that is, 1,000 pounds to put on a truck, besides the other furnishings. And the wheelbase was short on this truck. It was a Nash, a fine truck.
How many tons did they rate the truck at?
That was a 2-ton truck.
Mm-hmm.
It did 2-ton. Well, when I got that load on there, and she didn't say anything about the fruit until I got everything just about loaded and I had to put on the back of the truck.
Oh, my.
Well, them wheels are just, the front wheel is just raising off of the ground all the time.
Mm.
And I had to keep as close to the center of the road as I possibly could in order to keep the van from tipping over.
Where did you have to haul this stuff to?
I had to haul it up on...
Somewhere in Ogden?
In Ogden here, on 15th Street, somewhere on 15th Street. And in those days, they had the highways rounding from the center. Now they have them flat now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, the way they built the highways, they were just rounded.
For drainage, I guess.
Mm-hmm. From the center, well, you see how that loader wants to tip with going this way on the road all the time, you know, with that heavy load.
These were all graveled roads, I guess, huh?
Well, most of them at that time were cement and hardtop, blacktop.
Oh, about what time was this?
Oh, that was 1921 or 22 at that time.
The main roads connecting Ogden, Salt Lake, and Provo were cement?
They were paved. They were paved roads, but they were only two-lane roads. That's all they were. None of them were over two lanes.
Uh-huh.
And they were narrow, too. You had to keep right on that narrow road all the time, you know. You couldn't get off of the shoulder. You'd have to have trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So today the highways are so much better than they were at that time. I went over a lot of gravel roads, macadam roads.
Mm-hmm.
There were plenty of macadam roads at that time. That was crushed stone that was rolled, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Get this crushed stone from the quarries and roll it with a steam roller.
Mm-hmm.
So they soon wore out. They were under auto traffic. They couldn't hold up, but they did make them for long time after the autos got traveling the roads.
How many miles an hour would you drive in this nice truck?
Oh, I suppose we drove 25 or 30 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you got that load to its destination. The one with the fruit on the back?
Yes, I got it to its destination, all right. And boy, that was a sure scary drive for me coming back.
Were you all alone?
Yeah, I was all alone. I'd get somebody to help me load when I'd go to those towns.
Mm-hmm.
Another time we had the little truck in the van, two loads to Pocatello. Man says, oh, you can get it all right in one load. Well, couldn't take it in the one load, so we had to get the smaller truck. And he had a bookcase with a oval window in it. That was a beautiful thing. And got up to near McCammon, Idaho, and the water there, irrigation water, had flooded the road.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to get across this place in the road where the water had flooded, and gosh, the truck wheels, we had solid wheels on the rear of the trucks in those days, just pneumatic in front. Those truck wheels went down out of sight in that mud.
Hmm.
Had to get a team to pull us out. But when we got to Pocatello, why, that bookcase window was busted right out. It was broke entirely. And when we took it in, the fellow looked at it. He says, "Oh, well, that's all right, fellas." He said, "Just forget it."
He did. Well, customers aren't like that usually.
No, see, he didn't have one. We thought, gosh, there's going to be trouble now, but he didn't say a word. It's all right, fellas.
I'll be bothered.
Well, we only figured on one truck taking it, see, for $75, so he got his money's worth.
Uh-huh.
He had two loads on two trucks, so he thought he could well afford to have a new glass put in that bookcase.
Well, now, how about some of your girlfriends and whatnot, and when you got married, how about talking about that?
You come near marrying a bishop's daughter when you was down there.
Oh, I had a Jim White's cousin when I was firing the switch engine. She was in love with me, and I guess if she'd have stayed in Ogden, she might have married me. But she went back to Rexburg, Idaho, and we forgot about each other there.
Was she a Mormon?
Yeah, and Jack Mormon. Clara Reberg, I guess, was one of my first sweethearts. She lived next to us, and across the tracks there. Her father was a railroad conductor.
How old were you then?
Oh, my gosh, I was just a kid, I guess, then. And her sister, Ida, she thought a lot about me, too, but I didn't do anything about it. She was quite feminine, Ida was. And she was more dressy than Clara.
Uh-huh.
And then a girl down in Lehi, Utah. She was... Florence says she was a bishop's daughter, but she wasn't. But her father was high up in the church.
What was her name?
Edith Taylor.
How did you get acquainted with a girl from Lehi? That's quite a ways
away. When I was working for George Murphy, and a box of apples, her name was in it, I wrote to her, sent her a postcard, and we wrote to each other.
How'd her name get in the box of apples? Did she pick them?
She was picking apples, and she put her name in this box of apples on the card.
Oh, well, what do you
know? So I went down to see her a couple of times, and then I forgot about her.
You told me you come home and wanted to marry you, and your mother wouldn't let
you. Well, I think Mother added on to that. I didn't say that.
Well, yeah, I thought
so. Well, now, Mom says you were down in southern Utah working once. What was that about?
Well,
how old were you there?
That was the one.
That was the time. That was Edith Taylor down in Lehi. I wasn't working down there.
But she meant she said she shouldn't put a stop to that. She thought sure that girl wanted to marry you.
Well, was someone down there talking to you about the church and trying to convert you at that time? Was it this girl or what?
No, they didn't talk to religion too much to me. They were a religious family, and they had their prayers and family prayer, and asked the blessing on the food, and something different about what happened and took place in my home. So it was quite an experience to me. So just being away, too far away, I forgot about each other, I guess.
Well, now, didn't you work at one time in a brick kiln in Wilson Lane?
Oh, when I was a boy.
How old were you then?
Oh, I wasn't very old. It was before I was out of school.
Wasn't there someone there that was preaching Mormonism to you?
No, not in this case. It wasn't. I used to go all around, look for jobs during vacation. And this vacation, I went out to Wilson Lane, and there this man was making brick. And... by hand, molding them by hand. I would carry them away from I'd carry the molds away and dump them down on the ground, see?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd bring the molds back and he'd fill them up again. Of course, you had a half a dozen molds there. I always had a mold filled.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked for him all summer and didn't get one penny out of him. I did get my dinner every day.
Was he supposed to pay you?
Yeah, he was supposed to pay me $1 a day and my meals. He didn't pay me anything.
You worked all summer?
Worked all summer for him. Didn't get a cent out of it.
What was his name?
Staker.
You've got somebody coming in hereafter.
Yeah, his name was Staker. Never did get a cent out of him.
How old do you think you were then?
Oh, probably about 11.
Hmm.
11 years old at that time.
What other kind of summertime jobs did you have when you were still in school?
I worked one summer at the factory. At the factory down here, Pioneer Canning Company.
Mm-hmm.
And when the tomatoes came, well, they put a pair of boots on me and give me a big scoop shovel. And I shoveled up the tomato juice and the tomatoes off the floor and throw it in a hopper, and that's what the hopper the ketchup came out of.
Dad, how do you like to eat ketchup?
I don't like it.
Do you think they still make it the same way?
No, I don't think they do. They don't make it that way now. But I went around over ankle deep in tomato juice and shoveled it up into this hopper. And that's what they made the ketchup out of.
How much pay did you get for that?
50 cents a day.
How old do you think you were on that job?
I was 12 years old at that time, the year before I quit school.
Uh-huh.
Quit school at 13. So I was able to buy some clothes with that money that I made at the factory there. And we used to pick fruit. One time we was out in Wilson Lane one summer, and they wanted us to thin sugar beets. Well, I had a notion to go and do it, but that was on Pingree's farm. But the other kids, they didn't want to work. They didn't want to weed any sugar beets, so I didn't either. If they'd had some support, I'd have done it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have enough gumption to go away from the crowd and do it myself. Had too many against me.
Well, now, you heard about the church before you met Mom, hadn't you?
Oh, yes, I heard about it. But I was just complacent.
Where did you first hear about it? Where somebody was trying to convert you or convince you?
Oh, we had a brother Jones. He used to sell medicine. Came to the house.
On Benford?
No, on Pacific Avenue, 2783 Pacific.
Your dad and mother let him in?
Yes, they let him in, and he preached the gospel. You remember the Jones boys. Well, what he said appealed to me all right. And from that time on, I did have an inclination to the church. But my folks were always against it, see? They're bitter against it.
An apostate neighbor made
him
that way.
Yeah, so I remember one time that we lived in the second ward. I remember MIA were having dances.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the children down there, some of the young people down there were going to the dance. And I asked Mother if I could go. I wanted to go to that dance. I thought I'd like to go, wanted to go. Cost 25 cents to go to the dances, but no, she wouldn't give me a quarter to go. And so I wasn't spunky enough. I just let it go at that. What she'd say, that was it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't argue with her about anything. See where I should have done a little arguing. But I was too complacent. This complacency didn't get me anywhere. I didn't get into the church. Wasn't aggressive enough. And so
you did go to a primary dance,
right? Oh, yes. I remember going to a primary dance, and what a wonderful time I had. Why, that was the best time of my life when I was a child. Went to the second ward to a Christmas dance at the second ward for children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember they sang Sally Waters when we danced. This foot and that foot and any foot at all. Little
left foot, right foot, any foot at all.
Sally lost her petticoat going to the ball. Boy, did I have fun. Oh, and my dad, sure a wonderful time. And people don't realize, your parents don't realize what joy you get out of going to these church socials, one thing or another. Even when you're a child, they didn't have any of those things, and I guess they didn't appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I couldn't go after that anymore. I had such a good time that I was barred from going anymore. I remember Mrs. Wilde took us to that.
She a neighbor?
Yeah, she was a neighbor. She lived on the avenue below Pacific. There was just two avenues there. I forget what the name of that street was. The streets run to north and south. On the west side of the tracks.
Mm-hmm. Where else did you hear the gospel before you met Mom?
John McGregor, after the picture,
No, all he thought about was socialism. He didn't think anything about the gospel when I met him. But I bought a Book of Mormon at one time and read it. Where did they get that Book of Mormon from?
Oh, I let you take the Book of Mormon.
That was before I met you. Before I met you, that I got the Book of Mormon. But I enjoyed reading that. I thought it was all right. But when Florence came along, why, things changed in my life. I'm grateful that I met her, and I'm grateful for the gospel. I'm grateful for our family. I'm grateful that they were raised up in the church, in the kingdom of God. I'm grateful that all you boys had a chance to participate in the mutual priesthood and Sunday school. Yeah, I got baptized on the 14th of February in the year 1918, and folks didn't know anything about it.
Water must have been pretty cold.
Yeah, they sure were cold.
Where did you get baptized?
Second Ward.
They have a font?
Yes, they got a font there. Yeah, sure wonderful thing. Now, your mother may not know it, but I, before I met her at Wilson's, I thought something about her, too. When she was at Coop's and delivered there one day, delivered some vegetables or something in the truck.
Didn't make your presence known to me then.
No. Yeah, she's sure a fine girl. And I thought, well, I guess I better go and ask her for a date, and I couldn't get up enough courage to go and ask her. And she used to, well, when she'd phone, she phoned a couple of times to the transfer office. And if I'd answer the phone, my, that's your beautiful voice. Oh, that's sure a fine voice. My gosh, that's sure wonderful.
Well, now, how about this socialist business? Was this before you met Mom?
Yeah, that was before.
How did that come in?
Oh, I guess I was that age you had to get into something, so heard a socialist speaking on the streets one day. And
how old were you?
Oh, about 25. So I got in with a socialist. According to the socialist, why, socialism would solve all the ills of mankind.
Uh-huh.
So economically, physically, and every way. Why, people would be picking money off the trees and all that sort of stuff, you know.
Well, what was the organization? Was it a party?
Yeah, just socialist
like
party.
Democrat and Republican?
Yeah. Socialist party.
On the ballot.
Was always on the ballot in those days.
Yeah, they were on the ballot.
Well, I guess it still is, isn't it? In many times, anyway.
But they haven't got the solution. Never will have a solution.
Well, did they have meetings where they explained socialist philosophy?
They had meetings.
It was on a soapbox at the City Hall Park where he
and John McDonald. John McGregor, when we got in with him, and there was a real estate man by the name of Rasmussen and several others. Why, we used to get in John's car and we'd go out all over Weber County, have meetings.
Make speeches?
Yeah, make speeches. But I can see the folly of it all now. I can see John McGregor's attitude, I never did like it. Now, he's always
looking for something.
He was always looking for to get something from the other fella for nothing, you know.
Without
is this
work.
The John McGregor that lived in our ward?
Yes, he's the one that lived in our ward.
Same guy, huh?
Without working, see.
He's the man that used to take you boys to the Salt Lake Temple for baptisms. Did he ever take you? I guess you was too old then.
I remember him. I remember him.
Yes.
I also remember some conversation I heard about him not being very honest and walking off with people's stuff. Is that the guy?
Yes, he's the guy.
I heard that somewhere in the war, and I didn't hear it from you.
Yeah, he was.
I think that was Castle Murphy's property that he took when Castle was on a mission. Maybe we shouldn't be talking about these things. They've got to be made public here. But we'd done work for him lots of times and never got any pay out of him for doing it.
Transfer business work?
Yes. Yeah, used to handle, take his equipment around for him. And
what kind of business was he in?
Well, he would do cement work and paper hanging and carpenter work. Well, he was good at all three. He was a good cement contractor. When it come to cement work, well, that's when we'd do hauling for him.
Mm-hmm.
But never got any money out of him for doing it.
Kind of didn't pay his bills, huh? And
so I should have had sense enough then to know that socialism wasn't right. Because it talk on, it's all against the rich, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Swap the rich and make them pay up. Well, that's the way.